Welcome back on a Monday, the Dennis Stuckey Show, and it's time to talk Prowlers hockey with Jeremy Skiba and Brady Beaton. And gentlemen, the good news is there were no splits this weekend, only because there was only one game, so it's kind of hard to split one game. But a win for the Prowlers on the road, and based on a text that I got from you over the weekend, chippy is the word.
Yeah, that would be a good way to describe it. It's going to be entertaining when they come back up here on Friday. But yeah, it was a very physical game. Columbus is a big team. They like to use their body. They like to throw it around, use it to create space. And they did that a lot. And, you know, the refs let them play for the most part. There was a lot of stuff that could have been called that wasn't for both sides. But the Prowlers played well. They played really well, good enough to win. And I think that was a big win that they needed, because it felt like games that they had lost in the past that last Friday.
Yeah, well, I see chippy. So the first thing I did was go look at the game sheet, and I saw there were only four minor penalties called in the whole game.
And it was like delay a game, a weak hooking.
It was a cross check on Gregorich.
Yeah, a cross check where they were just looking to make a call to give the home team a power play, I'll be honest with you there. And then a goaltender interference where they had to call it. But so, yeah.
Interesting. See, and what I generally find is, especially with teams like that that are big and the physical, that they do that at home, but then when they come to the other team's building, it's a little more quieter. So you think we'll get a really physical series this weekend, or do you think they'll back off a little bit?
Oh, I think when the Prowlers are home, you know, they like to fight. So I definitely think it'll be physical again. Yeah, there's no question.
I don't know what'll hit the ice first, the puck or the gloves, to be honest with you.
So some bad blood coming out of this one.
Yes. I mean, there was almost a fight at the end of the game. Dave Nippert threw a big open ice hit with about 50 seconds to go, and they took exception to that. Their coach took exception to that. Some of their players took exception to that, and they wanted to fight after the final buzzer. So I'm assuming that's going to carry over onto Friday.
Got to ask, because in most cases, officials are pretty regional. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you go to Danville, and you know kind of who you're going to get
right
that weekend for those games, because those are the guys that are in that area. Same thing when you come to McMoRan.
Yeah,
you kind of know most of the time.
Five, six
guys. Who the guys are going to be, who your linesmen are going to be, because it's guys that are you know, in the Metro Detroit area. And when you go over to the east and into Danbury and that kind of hometown. So I'm going to assume down in the south they got some home-cooking officials that you guys probably never seen before.
I mean, Jeremy, you know, I got quite upset a few times. Yeah. Matt Robertson took a baseball swing across the shins right in front of the official, and nothing was called.
The funny thing about that baseball swing is the River Dragon who took the swing, his helmet came off after the swing. It just came off. It was like hanging off his head.
And there was a couple times the play was at – so Prowlers were moving right to left, and they are at the River Dragon blue line going towards my left as I watch it. Behind the Prowlers net, all the way down on the right, there's cross-checking, shoving down to the ice, and just nothing was called. So they really let them play. Both teams got away with some stuff. Obviously, you think your guys got away with less. They're the ones who got screwed. But yeah, I thought they let them play a lot, and the fans loved the physical play. So I think it played into it a little more, too.
Yeah. That's my experience with hockey in the South. They like the hits and the fights more than they like the goals. They really
You're
do.
Exactly right.
Let's talk a little bit about Matt Robertson right now. Mm-hmm. I know he's the easy guy to pick out, but 13 games, 13 goals, 13 assists. I know like Jurich has probably bigger numbers in Watertown, but he's probably played Delaware a couple of times, and I think they've played Battle Creek a couple of times. We haven't had that yet. So I know all the Robo's points are legit against teams that have been playing pretty good hockey this season. And he has won an MVP in this league. Is he the reason that this team has been able to stay above 500 at this point?
Yeah, he's a big part of it. Again, we've talked about it. The depth play has been solid for the Prowlers when some of those guys, like you've talked about before, Dalton J. Zach Salkanich, who haven't been able to get it going yet. I'm sure they will. But, I mean, Jared Pfeiffer had the other goal last time. I mean, Salkanich had the empty netter, but Pfeiffer had the first goal. Oh, Justin Portillo, he didn't score on Friday, but he's had an assist. He's got a point streak going. Austin Federle's been playing really well. But, yeah, Matt Robertson having that go-to guy, that you need to get when you need to score. I mean, he has 4 goals in his last 2 games. Yeah, he's a big reason why the Prowlers are staying above water right now, waiting to really break out.
I just want to say with that, another big guy I would just say is Corey Simons coming back again. Mm-hmm. He's 4-0, 952 save percentage. The guy's been solid at net. Big week from him. He made 19 out of 21 saves. I mean, you know, one goal was low in the slot, a one-timer from Bodarenko, and the other one, Hayes just came around the whole defense and just basically sliced everybody up. So, I mean, 2 hard goals to kind of save. But, I mean, without him, they might still have, what, 1 regulation win? I mean, maybe not, but Simons has been a big part of their success in the last few weeks.
I have said this since he was the backup goalie in Berlin to Matt Kalutis the first year that he was in the league, that he's one of the better goalies that I've seen. As long as he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. He was in on the show last week on Wednesday said he was cramping up a little bit in the shutout game towards the end of the game, but that otherwise feeling pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's been very solid, like Jeremy said, 4-0. I'm assuming he's getting at minimum 1 start this weekend against the same River Dragon team. He's a very solid netminder.
And, again, you can't take away anything from Matt Robertson either, but still, I mean, just thinking how they have 5 regulation wins and 4 of those come from Simons, it's big.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about Dalton Jay getting it going. He's so close. I think he hit 2 crossbars. It's not that he's not making the opportunities or making good shots. He has had multiple chances. He's hitting iron. He's missing it by a hair. They're going to fall in for him real soon.
Yeah, it probably only takes 1, 2, because he's that guy that can score 6 goals on a weekend. And I do see that there's a Wednesday night coming up here where there might be a feel better team coming into town. And I hope that the guys, I hope that the guys get greedy and try to pad their stats that night.
And everyone else has
put up some big numbers and enjoy themselves and try to get some streaks going and get some good feelings going and it wouldn't break my heart at all if Dalton Jay popped 5 against Battle Creek or something like that, because maybe that's what we need so that he can score more consistently against these other tougher teams that we're playing. The league is tough this year.
Yeah.
You know, we can say what we want about Battle Creek, but the rest of the league is tough. I mean, at least Delaware might not be winning.
They play competitive games. They're like Mineral last year.
They're in their games, and everybody else really seems pretty even right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the one thing I have noticed is offense seems to be down for the most part. You don't see a lot of 8-6 games, 8-5. A lot of 4-2, 5-3 games. Someone gets to 6, that's a lot of goals this year. I don't know if that's just more talent spread out or change in philosophy or whatever, but offense seems to be down this year, and it seems to be doing better for the league.
I think the teams that have won the last 3 years, we've had dominant teams.
Mm-hmm.
Danville set all the records, then the Prowlers set all the records, and then Carolina set all the records. The one common thing about those 3 teams, if you go back and look at the goaltending numbers and the goals against averages that those teams had, they won by playing defense first. And they got a lot of goals, but they won because they were playing good defense.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. You build from the net out. And Corey Simons, I mean, look who was in net when the Prowlers won. You had DeCristofaro and you had Dan McWinnie, who got hot during the playoffs. You had Santaguita when he lost, what, 1 game the entire year?
The Santaguita-Simon combination, their record was like 38-3-1, ridiculous.
I know
like
Santaguita was 23-1-1 with a .932 save percentage.
Yeah, he was just like lights those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just lights out. Long way from the Matt Leon days.
Yeah.
Poor Mr. Karpinski last season.
He couldn't stop it.
And it was mental. It was mental because this is a guy that won a championship
as
in
a starter.
This league as a number one goaltender. But last year, the Goodyear blimp would have gone through his legs.
He had 1 good game where they stole a game in overtime against Carolina, and even then, they gave up a late goal.
Well, it was It was 4-1 with like 5 minutes to go, and they had to win in overtime.
Wow,
and that was the one.
Generally, the defense is going to win it for you, and that's something that I think the Prowlers, again, talking to Corey last week, it's getting better around here. There's more of a focus on it, and that's actually good to hear from a goalie because they'll be the first to complain if guys are cheating up the ice, not back checking, if the D's not helping you out, clearing guys out from around the net. And Corey seemed pretty happy about coming back to this situation. Like, the guys are playing really well, he thinks.
Right, and what they're doing on defensively is they're usually pairing an old with a new. Like, you'll see Joe Pace with Dalton Young. You'll see Matt Stoyout with a veteran at times. They have a mix of offensive and defensive guys. I mean, Joe Pace knows he's probably not going to get a ton of points, but he's helped a lot on defense. He's a very good defensive defenseman.
Well, what I was going to say with their defense is look at all the new names on defense in the lineup, like Dalton Young, Matt Stoya, Alex Strack. I feel like as we watch through the season, compared to from Danbury to now, all the new guys in the lineup have gotten better. Like, Alex Strack is a guy who didn't play hockey since 2017. He was reffing in the meantime. So, yeah, you know, he knows how to skate, but just everything from skating to shooting to playing defense in general, I think has gotten better since Danbury, and it's something good to see on the Prowlers, that defense.
Yeah, and they are pretty young back there. And the other part about it is, even though they're young, this is probably the most offense we've gotten from a defense here in Port Huron, maybe in any of the seasons.
Yeah, we've always relied on our forwards. I mean, you look at Columbus, they've had one goal from a defenseman this entire year. Port Huron, I mean, Dalton Young, I think, alone has four. Stoya has a few. I mean, you go around, I know I'm missing some, but defense has scored in almost every game.
I mean, I can think of 2D here in Port Huron in five seasons that got to 10 goals.
You count Alex Johnson?
No, because Johnson played part-time at forward, right. So not all of his goals came on D. Although, towards the end of last year, he was actually turning into a good two-way guy that way. But Josh Colton, the 1 year, got like 10 goals and 40 points. And the first year, Matt Fuller was here, and they used him at the point on the power play, and he had like 12 goals that season. But probably the whole rest of the defense didn't have 12 goals. And the year that Colton had 10, probably the whole rest of the defense didn't have 10 goals. So it hasn't been a source. But you don't notice it because here the forwards have been so dominant. We've had every team has had a dominant line where guys that just piled up goals and points. And, you know, last year it was Robo, Jay, and Graham. This year, pretty much the same thing with those guys. We had the years with Robo and Parkhouse and Austin Doe, and then Robo, Parkhouse, and Mafus the 1 year.
That was the year they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs, but they had that streak at the end of the year.
They were the best team playing.
Point streaks of 20 games or more.
I'm going to write this in my notes.
They had, like, as a line in a 20-game stretch, they had, like, 130 points.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. If they would have made the playoffs that year, they may have won. They may have went back-to-back if they made it. Because they had such a bad December that year.
Yeah, well, before the coaching change. And I remember one of the last conversations I had with Trevor Kraswich was, we're right there, Stuck. Yeah. Like, I've got guys coming in here in January, and we're going to be a good team. We just got to make it through the holidays, and he couldn't make it through the holidays. They made the change. But when Senior came in and those guys showed up, boy, did we have it cranking in the second half. And he wanted so badly to catch that last playoff spot because he knew if they did, they had a chance.
They were playing as well as any team in that
league. Nobody wanted to play them at the end of the year.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I know the second Senior year where they went to Watertown and lost in the finals. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting to see, like, the coaching history here. Obviously, I wasn't here for the first 4 years, but it's interesting to hear that.
They've done nothing but win. And last year would have been a better year had they been healthy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't like to make excuses. You have to play well. You have to play the hand you're dealt. But in all honesty, they had their goaltending was shot all year long. They didn't have a weekend where they had two goalies who were healthy. And then they just constantly had injuries at key moments to key people. And you can't do anything about call-ups. You got to let the guy go and have the better opportunity.
I still think if Corey Simons is healthy, they have a chance to steal that playoff series.
Well, they certainly would have had.
Because it was a pair of one-goal games.
Yeah.
Maybe the second one was two because they pulled the goalie. But
I think it was.
It improved their chances because actually the lineup for the playoffs with Drindrazitz and Kilgore and some of the guys that they had added. Powell was playing well at the time. I mean, they had a good team, but they were just, you know, Paulin did what he could, but Carolina's an elite team.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have that elite play.
They played
at that position at that point.
A B-plus, A-minus game where they needed to play an A-plus game. Yeah. They were winning that game. Dalton Jay, I think I had a shorthanded goal to put them up in the second period, and they just couldn't hold on to it.
Just a little anecdote about that series, and then I just want to mention one other thing for this weekend. One of the nights, so I live with currently Chris Paul and Alex Strack in team housing, but before Strack was here, one night I was with Corey Simons and Chris Paulin, and they were talking about that playoff series. Paulin goalied both games. I think it was like a 5-4 game, like a 3-2. Corey Simons was telling him you played your heart out in those series. Paulin was like, I don't know, I feel like it could have been better. He's like, no, like you did what you could. Like those it was a tough series and all that. So I mean, they are to me a great tandem, and like you see it on and off the ice. And the other thing, just about this weekend, because it sounds like we might be wrapping it up here.
And I was going to give you a chance because I know something coming up on the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that this weekend, Chris Levier will be back in the lineup, or he's at least scheduled to be in the lineup. So, like I said, the last two games he played were against the River Dragons, so it'll be fun to watch him again. I'm excited.
He's a good player. I'll watch him play against anybody. Right. And somebody talk him into hanging around for that Wednesday game, because I'd like to see a guy get 12 points in a game. He's a guy that could do that, maybe.
Yeah. Get into the top 10 in scoring in one game. No.
Probably. All right, got to take a break, but we'll be back with more on the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.